and welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the second album from breakout singer-songwriter Greg Freeman. It's called Burnover and starts with a song called Point and Shoot.
Shot down in the shade of Cardboard Canyon. They cut the scene and saw blood on the cameraman. She could see the frame, but never the picture. Live round spun and a split second flicker broke the depth of field like the neck of the hangman. You looked at me like a pie in the window pane. I looked back like a mule in some bridle reins. Lying there naked through a point and shoot. If you got a secret, don't keep it too close to your chest. Just let me know.
I became aware of Greg Freeman because he was mentioned on an episode of All Songs Considered, and I listened to this album, and it struck me in a way that rarely happens, where on the first listen, I was like, this is really special. His voice is so unusual. These songs are so richly textured with a lot of different musical instruments and layers, and they're all just, they each have their own style that I couldn't fit into any particular genre. I've seen him referred to as alt country, which I don't think is accurate, but it just really hit me that this is something unusual. And doing some research, I was surprised to learn that he was only 27. He just kind of like self-released his first album, and that this is his first album that's getting a lot of national attention.
Yeah, it's a really impressive combination of factors that make it such a unique sound where, you know, to hear his backstory where he started off like, I don't know, I've learned guitars. I want to play guitar. People are playing blues, so I'm going to go learn blues.
Bethesda, Maryland.
Yeah, Bethesda, Maryland. And then grow up and go to college in Vermont in the land of the jam bands and then kind of embrace this country sound. So he's got all this blues and jam bands and country. And yet somehow you end up with like, they're almost like jazz and classical influences. It's crazy to have so much stuff going on here, and I'm really impressed by the efficiency of, you know, these lyrics are kind of very suggestive and impressionistic. I'm not going to try and analyze them. I know I get carried away sometimes. It's really hard to do that, I think, in a lot of these songs, but you just get these wonderful imagery of point and shoot as the camera, but also some suggestion of point and shoot like a gun. He said in interviews that this is loosely inspired by the Alec Baldwin Rush shooting. I don't know about that. But
because apparently he went to Vermont to like hide out from the press.
Yeah, but again, digging into this sort of dual meaning of shooting, and all of this is crammed into like the first minute of the song, which we played there, leaving, you know, like the first chorus, then these expansive sections for, you know, harmonica solos, guitar solos. And then things slow way down. It has all these different sections, and the song's what, 3 minutes long, and there's so much going on here, and the entire record is like that.
And the lyrics feel, they have a very storyteller feel, but there's never really a story that gets told. There's sort of these sketches of images and a lot of really great one-liners, but it's very opaque, the story that he's telling.
Yeah, I think it's really funny that there's just this rattled off here. It's like in the bridge that we didn't play, but it's like, oh, the crime of the century. It's like, what's that? He's like, oh, this is the thing that a cop said to me when he pulled me over. It's like, ah, there are these big wide roads that you want to drive fast, but then you're not allowed to drive fast. And it's like, I would not have gotten that at all for the lyrics, but it's great that he just boils it down and it's so evocative without really telling us anything.
So the next song we'll play is called Salesman.
Yeah. the view. Most men live and die by the same rules, baby, but fate has made itself a story out of you. This life, don't quit. You know as well.
I really pushed to play a fair chunk of this instrumental because to me this song is such a, you know, it's, I mentioned the jam band idea where there's so many different musicians, where you have the different horn styles and then the guitar styles and different solos, and then it like almost becomes this weird jazz sound before then becoming this, you know, almost like rock opera. It's, and it keeps building and building and building. And the same thing with that first song where we had a relatively efficient lyrical section so that the instrumentals could just rock out, and it sounds so good. And you get a sense that he is a really good guitarist, but then you look at the credits and it's all these amazing people that A, great liner notes to actually credit every single of one of these musicians, that you've got these fantastic Cam Gilmore playing this, these saxophones, it sounds fantastic. And then Ben Rogers on that pedal steel. Oh my God. It just sounds amazing. And then you almost don't notice like, oh, you know, Greg Freeman is a fantastic guitarist, but he's willing to step back and let these other musicians take the lead.
Yeah, he talks about growing up in the suburbs, you know, just kind of soulless and not a lot of other people to play music with. And he was able to find people to play kind of blues with. But when he went to Burlington for college, he really, you know, got locked into the community there, and that there's a really thriving arts scene. And so he's mentioned how he's very lucky to have all these friends who play horns and play other instruments and wanted to come in and play on this album.
Yeah, it's somebody to be said for that, those sorts of communities that, you know, sadly, I don't know that that still exists anywhere around here. I used to, but yeah, that kind of just different people with different voices being able to bounce ideas off each other, and the benefits here that he A, knows all these people he can pull in. Like almost everyone I think on this record is part of that Burlington scene, and then he can bring them in, and like apparently didn't have a whole lot of time to rehearse, but they just nailed it and sounds so big and rich and polished. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, he made some comment about how they basically all learned the songs on the day, on the one day that they had in the studio. He says, just having people in the studio for one day and trying to get the song down. I made both records in Burlington and we were all between working at our jobs. We didn't have to be the most well-rehearsed, get it in one take kind of band. We just went in and tried to get it. So basically it's like, you know, that's what contributes to this very live, loose feeling, which I think makes the record so compelling.
Yeah, I'm really impressed. And it's, again, this blending these different styles and that, it, you know, the lyrics, I don't know, it's sort of suggestive about the salesman and people being, you know, I'm not even going to attempt to claim what the song is about, but it sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think we do kind of get into something that's maybe a little more anchored and about something that we can like, oh, it's definitely about something, and it's called Rome, New York.
The morning comes too quickly now and evenings fall apart, and the pine box hills rattle at night with the stake-driven hearts. Yeah, and heaven like a ditch will sometimes spill into the pacify the muffled dreams of the broken into cars. Pacify the muffled dreams of the broken into cars. Pass right by the broken dreams of
We didn't play that song from the beginning, but it fades in with a lot of weird kind of ambient sounds. And in fact, one of the credits on this song is Greg Freeman playing license plate.
Not just license plate, rusty license plate.
Yes. And so there's a lot of just sonic exploration in this song. And it reminds me of Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. And kind of, I'm not saying the two albums are alike, but I feel like they're coming from that place of wanting to explore outside the usual range of sounds.
Yeah, I noticed also on here there's the prepared guitar is listed. And so I think some of these guitars that sound just really weird and muffled, and just it sounds really cool. And it's so, you know, the contrast between this sort of joyful chorus singing about broken into cars and clearly this town, Rome, New York, which has seen better days, it sounds like.
Well, I don't think that's what it's about, but.
Well, I mean, it's inspired by the town and, it, you know, this notion of a place where this is the sound you're hearing. It's, yeah, that, I don't know. So what is the song about?
I mean, again, like many of these songs, I don't think you can point to anything in particular, but they're just very evocative. You know, there's some relationship happening and, you know, you're describing seeing someone at a distance, but you never really can grab on to like, what is the message being sent?
But I think that, you know, Greg Freeman has talked in interviews that this is very much inspired by. He's not local to this area of sort of Vermont and upstate New York, but yet he's inspired by it. And so to the extent that he's going to name a song after the city, it's like, well, there must be something about that city that inspired him. And so I'm going to take it more literally. Sorry.
So the next song we'll play is called Gallic Shrug.
Song is one of the singles, and I can really understand why, because it is so, there's so much emotion here. Like, I feel like a lot of these songs, there's a little sense of remove or kind of like, oh, I'm just the observer. And this is, I feel like, Greg Freeman laying his heart on the line. And it's, again, I'm not going to apply a particular narrative of what's going on, but just this feeling of extreme longing of like these imagery of like, oh, you know, I'm reaching out to you, but then I bent the key and your lock won't open. And then the person he's singing to is like, oh, you're going to look for love. And then you'll just get a Gallic Shrug. So it's sort of like, I'm longing and I'm getting nothing. You're longing and you're getting nothing. And it's so sad.
It's also just the most conventionally radio friendly song, I think. On the record. And if you were going to label anything alt country with the pedal steel and the kind of conventional structure, I think this would be it. You know, I don't say that in a negative way. I think it's a great song, but it's just a very different view of his songwriting style.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of structural stuff that's interesting, because this is another one where I feel like relatively quickly he goes through kind of verse, chorus, verse, chorus. And then this section we played kind of feels like the bridge, but then it happens twice and then even like a third time. And so it almost, like, to me, it feels more like a chorus, kind of in terms of being like, oh, this is actually the statement, not just an aside. Mm-hmm. And so it's, I think you're right, mostly conventional, but I think even in there, there's a little bit of a twist that gives it some freshness, and it sure packs a punch emotionally.
If you're listening to this album on vinyl, we've come to the last song at the end of side A, and it's the title track. It's called Burn Over.
And then the outskirt wooden buildings
really tough to tell what section we should pull from that song because it's 6 minutes and it's this kind of epic story about a firefighter's strike. And it reminds me of like The Hurricane by Bob Dylan, where it's a little bit repetitive, but it spins this tale. And there are these different elements of the background musicians who come in and out. And it's a really beautiful kind of desolate sound that sticks with you.
Yeah, it's so wintry, mm-hmm. and that it ends with this image of just a town all going out onto frozen ice on a lake, and it just is very evocative. And even in the song that's about fire, Burke's catching out, it feels so, so cold is really what you send her. Even though it sounds warm, but just it's so dark and scary, and there's room for it to be both this narrative of this fire strike that I think was supposed, Chicago in 1980 happened to break, the strikes started on Valentine's Day and went for a little over 3 weeks, but then can kind of pivot from being about that for the first third of its length to then kind of moving to metaphors of, oh, this is literal fire. And then this part of New York that's the burned over district because it had all of these religious revivals happen in the 19th century. And so literal fire is burning. And then there's this metaphorical fire. And so he kind of, I don't know that which one affects which, but it's like he can kind of just be so expansive in the songwriting. And then to have this be like, yeah, this kind of weird, hard to get your hands around song is the one, like, yep, this is the one I'm naming the record after.
Yeah.
It's really a confident artistic statement.
Yeah. It's like he communicates these feelings really well with the lyrics he chooses, even though they're not to be taken literally.
Yeah. So we come here from this, you know, epic song to it coming into the second side. We actually go into another really lengthy, and weirdly it's lengthy, but also one of the singles from this record. It's called Curtain.
Your eyes are like a curtain and the sun goes through it, and a crystalline expression questions some kind of fall from grace, reflecting green shadows through black shutter curls. Cruciform fossils lay excavated on your memory, like plaster cast to lovers whose kiss became the only thing that ever really mattered to a Vesuvian world. My thoughts die out slowly on the blood swept plains where I see you every night. Into the lonely hours, it's like burning the furniture to keep the house bright at night.
The most extraordinary thing is to read about this song and learn that apparently written pretty quickly and demoed where he fully intended that main kind of melodic half would be the guitar. And then Yay collaboration, Samatella says, hey, let me try that on the piano. And you get just this amazing earthy sound that invites you in. And yeah, the contrast between that piano and his warbling vocals is so inviting.
Yeah, the piano playing on this record is just feels so spontaneous and alive. It doesn't feel practiced at all. And as you mentioned, this was the first song that Freeman wrote for this album. And he said what it started from was just a guitar riff that was very fun to play. And I think that sort of speaks to the kind of person that I assume he is, where he is really kind of outgoing and has formed a lot of connections with these people that he plays music with in Burlington, that people are very willing to bring him ideas and kind of fool around with his songs with him. And that makes it such a richer album than it would have been if it was written in solitude.
Yeah. And it's funny because, of course, the written in solitude, apparently while you know, touring for this record. And I guess he was touring, opening for Hamilton Lighthouser in the fall. He'll be touring. Touring, opening for Granddaddy in the spring rather. And then he's touring, opening for Granddaddy in the fall.
And coming to San Francisco on December 6th to play the Rickshaw.
Yeah. Headlining in the winter. And yeah, we get a Saturday show. So awesome there. But yeah, he was taking a lot of time and just hanging out in the desert in New Mexico, trying to write the next record. And so as this record is, you know, so inspired by upstate New York and Vermont and New England and kind of this cold and icy kind of feeling, I'm now just, what is this next record going to be if it's all about the desert and New Mexico and broad vistas? So,
but I think he wrote and recorded the demos by himself, but then the songs were fleshed out with all these other people.
Exactly. So he writes them, but then the orchestration, they become more than they were, and he lets that happen. And obviously collaboration, he can be the chief songwriter and also this amazing collaborator. And yeah, some of the lyrics here are just so great that I love the Vesuvian world of, there's the volcano coming and this really sense of, again, another song with that longing, and the kiss is not something that it's enjoyed. It's a kiss that's snuffed out and just becomes this plaster casted lovers. So great. Later lines about, I love the pile of dirty dishes, carry yourself to the sink. And it's like, I don't know what that means, but it's so evocative. And just, he's so clever in a way that doesn't feel forced.
And his voice is so, he's obviously pushing it beyond where it can go, but he's so confident with it. It's a very unusual effect.
Yeah. There are artists who can pull that off. There are artists who's like, oh, your voice is imperfect and all I can see is the imperfection. And then here, all the sort of cliche of just perfectly imperfect. Where it's like, it would not work if it didn't have these quirks and weird rough edges.
And I like a singer who has a voice with a lot of character. And you talk about him touring with Hamilton Lighthouser, who has a really beautiful, earthy voice, and the contrast to that. But, it's a good pairing.
Yeah, those were good shows. Happy for the people who made it to those. So we come from here into the home stretch of the record with one of the more kind of rockin', energetic tracks that I really enjoyed. It's called Gone Can Mean a Lot of Things. And though it's in parentheses, can mean a lot of things.
Album was such a delightful find, and it also inspired me to go back and listen to his first album, which was re-released once he signed to the label he's with now. And it's also just fantastic. It's a little less polished and a little more rangy, but it has such an interesting sound. His voice is so unique. He's got these expansive compositional styles with a lot of different instruments. It's worth checking out as well.
Yeah, it is. I appreciate that for the second record, he didn't go too far into the polish realm and reached out for production to Benny Yurko, who's someone I'm not super familiar with, plays bass on most of the tracks, done a lot of production, and has done a fair bit of session guitar work. I noticed he played on that Caroline Rose record after the one we did on the show.
Interesting.
That we didn't like quite as much, but still, interesting, interesting career. But his production here, is so... it feels so live and immediate. And then this is one where, I described it as having kind of more of a rock sound, not because, organ and violin are very prominent, and Greg Freeman apparently also plays the, He also plays the violin, but then you get a lot of like really saturated sound. Like everything starts to get a little noisy. And then the song even ends with kind of this feedback squeal. And so it's fun to get a little bit of that. All right, let's just, you know, turn everything up to 11 for one song. And I appreciate that that's on this record with everything else that's so kind of cold and maybe a tiny bit more detached, even as his voice is so warm. Here's just like, no, we're going to go ramp it up.
Well, and keeping his voice so far forward in the mix really puts the focus on it too. And it gives a feeling of intimacy and it kind of pulls all the songs together, even as the instrumentation kind of rambles far and wide.
Yeah, it is impressive. Yeah, I'm usually, I feel like there's been a, you know, this like kind of indie country alt folk. I don't know how to describe this, but I feel like there's a lot of these artists and it's not always something that really grabs me. And this record, yeah, I was the same thing. I heard it on that alt songs. And I'm like, oh, this is different. And then from the first list, yeah, I really just from stem to stern, 10 tracks, some of them are long, some of them are really brief. None of them outstays its welcome. And even the ones, you know, we picked, we had to drop a couple and they were also fantastic. It's a really just amazing record.
So the last song that we'll go out with is almost 9 minutes long and it's a very cold and sparse and really...
And epic.
Yeah, epic. It's called Wolf Pine, as I said. It's about, or the name comes from an actual pine in Burlington that is more than 500 years old. It's kind of like a specially designated tree. So again, we've been talking about the second album from Greg Freeman called Burnover. This last song that we'll go out with is called Wolf Pine, and you've been listening to For the Record. Thank you so much for listening.
There's a wolf pine by the river. That's older than the rest. Designated by city fathers to bear some kind of witness. And they're sent a little bow.
Proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.